morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek coming to you today from Dayton, Ohio. I'll give you more about that story behind that later on. But why don't we kick things off on this Friday with prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for bringing us to another day. We love you. We are so grateful that you love us unconditionally. Father, we will encounter many problems, many difficulties, many struggles and challenges today. We turn to you and ask you to help us through each of those. We ask you through our actions, through our words, to let other people be able to be drawn closer to you. Help us to draw those people closer to you. And we lift up everyone in our lives, our family, our friends, people we know, our coworkers, fellow students, whoever they are, we lift them up in prayer. We bring them to you and we ask you to bless them. Father, we also ask you to speak through us on the program today. Send your Holy Spirit to come alive so that your word can go forth from our lips. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in. I'm really excited to be here. I hope you are as well. We're going to be here with you for the next 60 minutes. My name is Gary Zimek, coming to you today from a hotel room in Dayton, Ohio. I am here because I'm speaking at a homeschooling conference today and tomorrow. And through the magic of technology, we're able to broadcast the show live from Dayton. Now, back in the studios, hopefully, I don't know this for sure, is Frank Eliason. Frank, are you there?
Hey, you know, you could just be talking to no one right now except for yourself.
I know I could, and that's what I was thinking in the middle of that little dissertation. I said, you know, I'm going on and on and on. I hope Frank really is there.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Parker has another day off today?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So how was your travels?
Oh, Frank. Airline travel is so much fun. You travel a lot. You get it. All right, let me tell you my story, first of all. It was an hour plane flight to Dayton. No big deal. I thought, well, this is going to be an easy one. We get on the plane, a bit of a smaller plane. I don't have an issue with that. I do a lot of traveling, so I travel small planes, large planes, whatever. Get on the plane to Dayton, no problem. Got on, got my seat, ready to go. We are in the air. And figure I'll be there in an hour. And all of a sudden, we hit turbulence. But, you know, I've experienced turbulence before, but this is a weird kind of turbulence. It was very bumpy. And then the plane seemed to be turning, you know, suddenly in one direction. I thought, you know, this doesn't sound good. All right, my fears were confirmed when the pilot comes on and he says, folks, I hate to tell you this. Frank, that's not a good way to start.
Not a good sign when the pilot says that.
No. And I was watching the flight attendant. She looked a little concerned, too. So he said, we have to return to Philadelphia, which is also not a good sign, because one of the indicator lights is on saying that there might be a fire in the cargo cabin. Okay, so nothing to worry about. But he said, I think it's a false alarm, but we need to do it as a precaution. It will be a regular landing, so we will land in the field. And I'm thinking, all right, land in the field. Whoa, are we landing in the field? Mm. But, you know, we're landing on the runway away from the gate, obviously. So he said a regular landing. I guess that means as opposed to an emergency landing. He said, but don't panic when you see the fire trucks. Okay, so, all right.
Great.
So that's it. So we turned back. We made it back to Philadelphia. And, Frank, here's the thing. It turned out to be nothing. But the thing is, we're sitting on the plane while the firemen are checking out the, you know, to make sure there's no fire. And we sat there. Couldn't we have gotten off?
Yeah, I think that would have been probably more advisable.
So anyway, I mean, everybody's out there. They're checking it out. Eventually, we get off. They take us to the gate. And they wouldn't let us get our luggage because gate checked some luggage, got the luggage off eventually, and they got us here. There were a few hours delay. We ran into thunderstorms both here in Philly and in Dayton. But we got a new plane. So whether or not it really was nothing, I'm not sure. But that was my adventure. And you know, wow. You just never know. You talk about not realizing you're not in control. Airline travel is one way to understand that very quickly. Do you have any stories? Oh, I'm sure you do.
I have numerous stories, but I think sometimes airline travel is designed to give us anxiety. And especially nowadays, it seems. You know, one similar experience, although I've never had fire trucks around my plane, although I have had before taking off. have had that. My worst experience was probably false landings twice. So plane comes down and touches the runway and then shoots back up again. Had this happen two times on the same flight. And, you know, the one time it was, I guess, something that the pilot did wrong or something. The second time was because there was a plane in our way.
Shouldn't someone have known there was a plane in your way?
Yeah, you know, and it goes. And what happens is it comes down, whoa, literally the wheels touch the ground and then takes right back off again.
Whoa.
And each time you're just like, you know, and quite nerve-wracking. Now, different thing your experience. They didn't say anything to us until after the second time it happened. And at that point, they had us circling around the airport for a while. And so that's when they finally actually told us what was going on. Otherwise, we did not have a clue. And like your plane ride there, ours was filled with turbulence as it was.
Oh,
it was like one of those type of plane rides where it's kind of throwing you all over. So not only you have this bad turbulence, then you have this go on. And you sit there going, what is going on? Is this meant to be? So, you know, but I think airline travel in general brings out an anxiety in all of us just because of the, you know, they cram you in nowadays like sardines and and throw you in there and they have you all cramped. And, you know, and unfortunately, it used to be a lot about service, which is a lot of what I like to talk about. The challenge to it is since 9/11, you know, stewardesses are more security than anything else. And so it's not even like a pleasant experience where they're welcoming you and doing all these things. And so it all adds to this anxiety that people tend to have. I travel a lot, and I personally not a fan of air travel.
No, if I can drive, I have this rule of thumb. If I can drive, I will. And I'll go up to 7-8 hours, but past that, that's my limit. But, you know, it just really is. It's difficult, but it teaches you a lesson. It teaches you that you're not in control. We think we're in control. We're not in control. And you want to feel out of control, take a flight somewhere. It really doesn't depend where.
Exactly.
Man, you know, I getting back to your story, thinking about that, I wonder if the reason the pilot wasn't announcing anything was because he was really panicking, right?
That's what you think. No. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you sit there going, what's going through his head? What, you know.
My gosh, I can't imagine it. Anyway, but that was my story, but I'm here safe and sound. Everything is well. It's always strange when I'm doing the program outside of the studio. You have to be pretty lonely there today. No Dave Parker? No
I
me,
actually
just
like
by
it
yourself.
Quiet.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I prefer when no one's around, which is so bad to say.
I could say this because he's not there, but if you like it quiet, having Dave Parker not in the studio can achieve that goal.
I love Dave. Love Dave.
He loves to talk. But he's a great guy.
He is a great guy. For myself, what happens is I'll, you know, after we get done the show, I'll get a bunch of stuff done, and then really, you know, because no one's around, I can get it done very quickly, and then, you know, we'll have the weekend all set up. But anyway, you know,
that's right.
We have some news, you know, obviously people heard overnight regarding the situation in Solbury. So just to get people up to date on that real quick, another person of interest has been brought in. And so they have not really released much information about that, whether it's a arrest or anything along those lines. The attorney for the one person of interest has said he has confessed. Now, that has not been confirmed by the district attorney. But today at 11 o'clock, they're planning a press conference to disclose a lot of these things that are going on, a lot of things they haven't been able to disclose. You know, but, you know, certainly prayers go out to these families that are all involved. You know, it sounds like from everything I've read that it's a lot to do about drugs. So also prayers that go out to people struggling with drug addiction and some of the ramifications of that. So, you know, a lot to think about in all this. You know, it's certainly a sad situation. It's sad for these families. And, you know, in this nice community, to have something like this happen hits home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and this is national news, too.
I took a different way through Doylestown, and, you know, you see, like, all the news trucks, and it's not just the local news trucks. I saw a CBS news truck, I saw CNN, I saw ABC, you know, so, you know, you're not only, it's not, this is definitely national news.
That's right.
And it's not the type of national news that I, like, focused on this area.
I know. We live
in a great area, and I love for it to be focused on positive things. This certainly is not one of those.
No. And as we talked about yesterday, we have to sometimes distance ourselves and say we have to remember that this is not some kind of crime drama that we're watching on TV. This is real life. People's lives are destroyed because of something like this. So we need to pray, as you said, Frank. I'm glad you brought that up. Just pray for everyone involved in the story. Before I run out of time, I want to make sure I do the gospel. Today's gospel is from Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 23. Jesus said to his apostles, "Behold, I am sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and simple as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will be led before governors and kings for my sake as a witness before them and the pagans. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for it will be you who speak, but the spirit of it will not be you who speak, but the spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will hand brother to death, and the father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but whoever endures till the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to another. Amen, I say to you, you will not finish the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." Very quickly, this gospel is a reminder that you're going to have troubles when you go out there to share the good news. Expect opposition, expect difficulties, but we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us to give us the right things to say at the right time. So call on that Spirit, especially as you face difficult situations today. Coming up on the show, I forgot to get to this, Sister Kathleen Glavich will be our first guest. She's going to be talking about her new book, Praying on Empty. So if you're somebody who struggles to pray, you need to hear what she has to say. Second guest today will be Adam Conk from Catholic Radio from Lafayette, Louisiana. He's down in Louisiana, does a great job as the morning host. Adam's a good friend. I asked him to come on the show and talk a little bit with me about our mutual friend Jesus. So Adam's going to be on the show. But when we come back, if you're struggling with prayer, you definitely want to hear what Sister Kathleen Glavich has to say from her book, Praying on Empty. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 14th. Today we celebrate Saint Kateri Tekakwitha. The first North American native to be canonized was baptized in 1676 and died 4 years later. Known as the Lily of the Mohawks, her life in grace grew rapidly. Kateri's mother was a Christian Algonquin and wife to the chief of the Mohawk clan. At age 4, Kateri lost her family in a smallpox epidemic that left her disfigured and half-blind. The uncle who adopted her did not welcome the young girl's growing interest in the Catholic faith or the influence of the Jesuit missionaries on her. At 19, Kateri refused to marry and converted to Catholicism. Her radical actions left her in danger. On the advice of a priest, she stole away one night and walked 200 miles to a Christian Indian village near Montreal. There she grew in holiness under the direction of a priest and an Iroquois woman, spending long hours in prayer, charity, and strenuous penance. At 23, Kateri took a vow of virginity. When she died in 1680, all traces of the smallpox scars had reportedly disappeared from her emaciated face. Pope Benedict XVI canonized Kateri Tekakwitha in 2012. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Life you gave, our greatest prayer, our act of faith is an open hand. Lord, have your way. Take it all, every hope, every dream, every plan. Take it all, every weight, all the shame. I surrender all, every victory and loss. Take it all, take it all, till all I have is open hands.
A cleansing fist, a life of fear, a burden held has no place here.
Was Open Hands by Laura Story and Mac Powell. My name is Gary Zimak. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. That's such a great message in that story. Give it all to the Lord. Whatever you have, all your problems, your worries, your struggles, give everything to Him because He loves you and He wants to take care of your problems. Do you sometimes struggle to pray? Now, be honest. I'm sure we have all gone through it. You might be going through it right now. Prayer is difficult. You start to feel like, oh, I have to pray again. I know I should, but I don't want to. It's a very common problem. And I was excited to run across a book, Praying on Empty, A Guide to Rediscovering Your Prayerful Self, by Sister Mary Kathleen Glavich. The book is from 23rd Publications. And I thought, we need to get Sister on this program to talk about this message, because it's such a message. It's a message that many of us really need to hear. Sister Mary Kathleen Glavich is a noted educator. She's a speaker, and she's the author of, get this, more than 60 books. She joins us today on Spirit in the Morning. Sister, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. Boy, I'll tell you, praying on empty. What a great title. Let's talk about this for a minute, Sister.
Yes.
Prayer. What is prayer? What is the real point of prayer?
Oh, well, prayer is the most important thing we can do on earth, because it's establishing a relationship with God. You know, as a human beings, we get to know each other by communicating, by talking.
Right.
So prayer is communicating with God, speaking to God, and also listening to Him.
Sometimes we think of prayer as simply asking for things, but it's much more than that. It is, as you said, a relationship with the Lord. And if we want the relationship to grow, we've got to speak to Him, and He has to speak to us.
Yes, exactly.
Now, here's the one piece of this, the message in the book, Praying on Empty, implies that there are going to be times when we will have dryness in prayer. We don't have anything inside of us. Sister, sometimes in my own life, when this happens, I feel guilty. I feel like I'm doing something wrong. My relationship with the Lord isn't what it should be. Are there reasons other than that for this happening?
Right, and you're very typical, because a lot of times when people experience this dryness, you know, the dark night of the soul, even if it's extreme, they jump to the conclusion, well, God doesn't like me anymore, or I've done something really wrong in my life, and all that. But there are other reasons for it, and the main reason to keep in mind is that this is a natural stage in our spiritual life, in our prayer life. If you realize that we're in very good company, you know, St. Teresa of Calcutta, almost her entire life, she didn't feel the presence of God anymore. She didn't really, you know, realize it. Just one brief moment. Teresa, the little flower, St. Therese, she had the same experience right before she died. St. John of the Cross, he had the same experience. But the main idea is just to trust in God. He's our partner, and He knows what He's doing. Someone compared this situation to a patient and anesthetized on the table, and the doctor's doing the work. Well, God's like the doctor, and He's working in our souls even if we don't realize it and we feel like He's not there. He definitely is. And there's one story I included in my book. Could I tell it to you right now?
Oh, please do.
Okay, I love this. This is my favorite part of the book. It's a Jewish tale about a shoemaker who goes to a rabbi and says, "What do I do about my morning prayer?" The shoemaker's customers only had one pair of shoes, and so in the evening, the shoemaker went around, picked up the shoes to repair them, and the men needed their shoes for work the next morning, so he worked on them all night and early in the morning. And then the shoemaker says to the rabbi, "Should I say my morning prayers quickly, or should I just skip it and, while hammering shoes, every once in a while sigh and say, 'Woe is me, I haven't prayed morning prayer.'" And the answer that the rabbi gave is, "Probably God values that sigh more than the prayer."
Wow.
Values that sigh more. So our desire to pray to God is very precious in His eyes there. And I think another problem related to this is when we're praying and it seems like God's not answering, we're praying for something specifically, which is one form of prayer.
Right.
But God's not granting our request. It's like He's on vacation. You know? And there are a number of reasons for that. Sometimes, you know, God is answering, but He's saying no.
Right.
Or He's saying, you know, He could be saying, "Well, yes, but you have to be patient. Wait a while. My time is not your time." Or He might say, "I have something better in mind." Or I love what Jimmy Carter, former President Jimmy Carter, said. He said, "Sometimes God says to our request, 'You've got to be kidding.'"
Yeah, I like that.
Yes. So I think the bottom line is just to trust in God. And there are different ways we can help ourselves get over this rough spot in our lives if it's God's will.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that in the time we have left, ways that we can get over this, but I want to touch on a few of the points. You made some very good points when you said that sometimes it feels like God isn't there, but we know that he is. I think that's such an important thing to remember. I go through this all the time, and I've gotten to the point, you know, the ebb and flow of the spiritual life. I've been through this for a while. I say to him, Lord, it doesn't feel like you're there, but I know you are. And I think that's what we need to remember, right? That he is there, but it might not feel like it.
Right. And every once in a while, he gives us a little a surprise, you know, like a little miracle, just to tap us on the shoulder and say, yeah, I'm really here.
Exactly. And the other great point that you made was about that sigh. And that was a great story, by the way. Sometimes I think we have a feeling that we need to, if we're going to pray if we're going to pray effectively, I should say, we need to use a lot of words. So I'll say what I want to the Lord, and then I'll keep going because I feel like I should be speaking more. But that meaningful sigh from the heart, that I don't know what to say, Lord, or whatever you say to him, but if it's from the heart, means more than a lot of words that mean nothing or empty words. Would you agree?
Oh, yes. In fact, Jesus even said, do not multiply your words.
Yep.
And I think my most frequent prayer is help.
That's a good one.
one word, you know. Or just these short little prayers like I love you during the day makes us more mindful of God's presence guiding our lives.
Yeah. Sister, we have about 3 minutes left in this segment. How about some advice for ways to overcome this, I'm burned out, I can't pray, what do I do?
Yes. In fact, one of my chapters is about priming the pump, how you have to do different things to get your prayer jump-started, like get you through this dryness. One thing is go to Scripture. You know, in the Bible, God speaks to us personally, and so many times he says he loves us. You know, that will touch our hearts. You know? Or creation, you know, experience God's gift of creation for us. You know, go out in a park or the side of a lake or an ocean, and just connect with God that way. Listen to spiritual music. Look at a picture. A religious picture might evoke prayer. Or go back to prayers that you used to pray that touched your heart. Like I have one I used to pray in high school. And when I get stuck in my prayer life, I'll go back and pray that again. And that makes me realize that God is with me. Or another good idea is to think back over your life. You know, like... go backwards over and pick out the times when God did wonderful things for you, his blessings there, in unexpected ways, the way he was reassuring you that he loved you. And then that could revitalize your relationship with him. Or change how you pray. You know, sometimes we get stuck. God bless my mother, father, you know, we just have rote prayers. But there's so many different ways to pray available to Catholics especially. You know, like... the rosary is a traditional prayer, but why not substitute other mysteries for it? Or there's praying the mantras and centering prayer. Lectio Divina is becoming more popular recently. So I think if people would tap into those as resources that might spark their prayer life, it would be
great advice. Great advice, sister. The book is Praying on Empty, A Guide to Rediscovering Your Prayerful Self by Sister Mary Kathleen Glavich. Sister, thank you for coming on the program today. It is a great book, and I recommend anybody out there who's struggling to check this book out. Where, sister, is the best place to pick up this book or to find out about your other books?
Oh, anybody can go to Amazon and find all my books listed there under my name, Kathleen Glavich. The publisher for this particular book of mine is 23rd Publications, so people can go to that site, or they can contact me on my website, which is available at KathleenGlavich.org, KathleenGlavich.org. And Glavich is G-L-A-V-I-C-H.
And it's Kathleen with a K, correct?
Correct, yes.
All right, Sister Kathleen, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.
Well, thank you, and God bless you, too.
Thank you. Oh, boy, that was fun. Praying on Empty, A Guide to Rediscovering Your Prayerful Self. When we come back, we're going to talk about Jesus with my buddy Adam Kahn from Louisiana. Stay tuned.
I'm Jacob Popcheck with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. President Donald Trump is applauding as various French military units march by during the Bastille Day parade today. At one point, Trump saluted a combined group of American Army and Navy troops and Marines taking part in the annual event in Paris. He and the First Lady are being hosted by French President Emmanuel Macron. Back stateside, the attorney for a drug dealer in Pennsylvania says that his client has agreed to plead guilty to first-degree murder in the deaths of four young men who'd gone missing this month. The lawyer also says the 22-year-old Cosmo DiNardo confessed to the killings and told investigators where the bodies were located. Earlier this week, cadaver dogs led authorities to a spot on the DiNardo family farm where they discovered human remains inside a 12.5-foot-deep common grave. And in church news, the Holy See Press Office has issued a statement concerning indictments for embezzlement of funds from the Bambino Gesù Foundation, which exists to support the work of the Bambino Gesù Children's Hospital. The statement says that the former president of the foundation, Giuseppe Profiti, and the former treasurer of the same foundation, Massimo Spina, were summoned to appear before the court to answer charges that they diverted more than 400,000 euro belonging to the foundation. A preliminary hearing has been set for Tuesday, July the 18th. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Jacob Popcheck.
Are you tired of worrying? This is Gary Zimek from Spirit in the Morning, and I have good news for you. On August the 4th through August the 6th at the Malvern Retreat House, I'll be leading a Stop Worrying and Start Living retreat. Together, we can learn that Jesus Christ is the answer to overcoming anxiety and obtaining peace in our lives. We'll have Mass, we'll have confession, we'll have Eucharistic adoration, plus lots more. For more information, visit malvernretreat.com.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Today I'm sharing a note from a longtime reader of the Christopher's 3 Minutes a Day books. He wrote to us saying, 40 years ago, the conditions in the neighborhood where I live in Providence, Rhode Island were deplorable. Youth were dropping out of school, storefronts were boarded up, senior citizens had no programs available to them. People were saying someone should do something. I then remembered the words of the Christophers, "It's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness." I realized I might be that someone. This letter writer concludes, "I gathered 4 people to form a nonprofit which we named the Da Vinci Center for Community Progress. We now serve more than 5,000 people with social services including adult education, daily meals for senior citizens, youth programs, and more." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
To wear on a Sunday, all about perfection, black and white, wrong or right, never great. Well, I never make it, I never be good enough. I try to walk the line, pray that I find something that I knew was real. Began to realize the harder I tried, the colder I'd start to feel. Until the moment, the second I met your love, and then I threw my head. Yeah.
in his eyes.
And that was The God I Know by Love and the Outcome. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. Turning to the weather, right now at the Philadelphia International Airport, it is 76 degrees with light rain. Today, scattered showers and thunderstorms, high near 86. Tonight, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm before 10 p.m., low around 72. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 88. Northwest wind, 7 to 11 miles per hour. Well, that last song that we played, The God I Know by Love and the Outcome, one of the reasons I like that song is because of the message. The God I Know. I want you, as a listener of Spirit in the Morning, to know the God I know. Sometimes we get a false notion of God. The real, the one true God, he's a really cool guy, and I want you to know him. So, that's why I do this show. Another reason that I do this show is I bring people on this program who I know, and I want you to get to know. This next guest is an example of that. Talk about a really cool guy. Adam Conk is a station manager for Christ Our King Radio in Lafayette, Louisiana. He's also the host of Arise and Shine, Acadiana. He's going to be going on the air shortly in Louisiana, but he was kind enough to come on our program. You may have heard his name. It might sound familiar. He has also guest hosted Catholic Answers Live a few times. I brought him on the show today because I want you to meet Adam. Adam, my brother, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Pleasure to be here.
Hey, man, it's always good when we can hang out together. Now we're on my turf, though.
That's right, and I'm jealous of your weather. 76 degrees right now, huh?
How is it in Lafayette?
It's hotter than that. It's hotter than
I bet it is.
So yeah, summer's brutal down here, Gary. As you know, you've been down here before. It can get brutal.
Yeah, it can. But you guys got good food, I'll tell you that much.
That's right.
Hey, Adam, listen, I wanted to get you on the show to talk a little. I want to talk about Jesus with you because you and I, we have had great conversations. I've been on your show several times, and I never had you on my show. I want to talk about living our lives with Jesus Christ. You know, that's a cliche, personal yeah. relationship with Jesus. We hear it a lot. What do we do to make that connection? I think sometimes as Catholics, we fall short. We don't think mm-hmm. it's possible. What do we do, Adam? I don't know Jesus Christ, for example. I'm a listener. I don't really feel like I know him personally. What's the first step?
Yeah. Well, I think the first step is to acknowledge that a personal relationship is possible. So, you know, St. Paul, Gary, uses the marriage relationship as an analogy between Christ's love for us, right? Mm. And so if we use that analogy, a lot of us would just kind of assume the marriage that we're living is everybody's marriage, right? And whatever yeah. level of emotional depth or relational connection there is in our marriage, we assume that's what everybody has. And so for a lot of marriages, what makes the difference is first when they realize, wait a minute, marriage is supposed to be this deeper personal connection with my mm. spouse that I might not have. And so I think the first step in building a relationship with Jesus Christ is to realize he wants a deep relationship with me. That I may have a relationship with him right now, and I may assume that's what everybody has. But in fact, he wants to take me a lot deeper, and he wants to encounter me in ways I might not expect. And so just like in marriage, there are steps, there are processes to build relationships with Jesus Christ that the church has forged for 2,000 years.
Hmm. You know, it's funny, Adam, that I lived most of my life going to Mass each week thinking that, really not thinking about this idea of a personal relationship with Christ, figure all I do is go to Mass and that's it, and then I live my life. I'm miserable, I worry about all kinds of things, and I was a pretty unhappy person. But once I did get to encounter Christ, and he was there all along, I realized mm-hmm. that he was there all along, but he was just waiting for me to respond. Once I did encounter him and call out to him and say, Lord, take over my life, it's a mess. I need you. Things changed. And it doesn't mean that I don't have any problems, but I have such peace in my life now that I walk with Christ. And I know you do the same thing.
Yeah, and I think what you're describing is the foundation of a relationship with Jesus, which just like marriage, it's trust. It really is. You know, the Divine Mercy message, Jesus, I trust in you, is the foundation for a relationship with him. It's not so much that I've learned, you know, a plethora of knowledge about who he is and how the Trinity relates to each other and all these things. Those things are important in my relationship with him. But the foundation of it is trust. And right. So you mentioned going to Mass, you mentioned praying, and the way we come to trust Jesus, and the way you did, Gary, and myself, is that we see Jesus in action within the church. We see Jesus in action within the sacraments, mm-hmm. within our love for one another. You know, I'm taking this fantastic online course through the University of Holy Cross right now, and it's just great. We're having a lot of good conversation. We've talked about this difference between, you know, head knowledge and heart knowledge.
Yep.
Which is a phrase that's put out there a lot, right? Like, mm-hmm. we discuss it. But it's interesting that the heart can trust. The heart can make a sense. The way that you trust your mom, Gary, or you trust your wife. You know, mm-hmm. like when your wife cooks for you, you don't just accuse her of maybe poisoning the food, right? You trust that she didn't poison
right.
the food.
Good point.
And it wasn't because you sat down and you weighed the pros and cons. Like, here's the evidence that my wife did not poison me tonight. And here's the
wow.
evidence that she did. I think she didn't. No, you have built up a relationship of encounter with your wife. You've seen her in action with other people. You've seen how she treats you. And mm-hmm. so you've built this foundation of trust where you can share a meal with her. And for Christ, like, how do we build this trust? We see him in action. And from St. Paul to Mother Teresa, the way they saw Christ in action was in the church. St. Paul, what did he hear on the road to Damascus? Why are you persecuting me, right?
Me, yes.
When you're speaking yeah. about the church.
That's
Mother
right.
Teresa, where did she see Jesus in action? In the poor, in the destitute, and in her sisters who joined her to take care of them. And so the beautiful thing about the church, Gary, you and I are baptized. And what mm-hmm. does that mean? That means we are priests of the royal covenant. We can make Christ present as we love one another.
Mm.
And that is the only way to trust Jesus, is to see him in the love of the church. Because other than that, you know, we can tell people Jesus is their salvation, he's their destiny, but they might not trust him.
Exactly.
Right? And so we need to show them he's my salvation. We need to witness
yeah.
so that they can see signs that he really is powerful, that he really is someone worth living for.
Yeah, and I feel that's the key. Sometimes somebody just wrote to me the other day and said, Gary, what do I do? I'm struggling. I'm looking at turmoil within the church. I'm looking at society. I'm really starting to lose hope. How do you keep going? And Adam, I find the key is, and this has been the key in my life, if you start with that personal relationship with Jesus, then everything else makes sense. If I understand that it's his church, first of all, I know him, I love him, we talk every day, he's done so much for me, and then I understand he founded a church, I'm much more willing, and I have that desire to learn about his church and to believe in the teachings of his church, just as you talked about my wife and dinner. And the same thing when my wife and I were first dating. I wanted to find out everything about her. Why? Because I was falling in love with her. And the same thing happens with mm-hmm. Christ. You have that encounter. You want to find out about his church. You want to receive the sacraments. You want to go to confession, right? I mean, these things happen.
Yeah. And you know what, Gary? We were made for that. We weren't made to
yes.
distrust God.
That's right.
We weren't made to be suspicious of this deity in our life that wants to have power over us. Like, that is not who we were created to be. And for whatever reason, whatever our societal influence or yep. whatever background we have, we can be suspicious, just like we can be suspicious of our spouses, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
there can be healing to that. And healing needs to take place in the context of a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, and that needs to be modeled for us by the church. You know, Gary, you when I've encountered you down here in Lafayette, we've shared meals together, we've talked about life. Like, you've inspired me to love Jesus more, you know. And did I already know Jesus before I met you, Gary? Yes.
Yeah.
Right? Did I already have a
yeah, you're right.
Yes. But I was able to accept you as a brother in Christ and benefit from your relationship with him so that it can strengthen my own. And to not be suspicious or, you know, competitive in my relationship with Jesus, let's share Jesus with the world, right? But when
That's
we share
right.
it with one another, we walk away from that conversation, from that friendship, knowing more how to love Jesus better.
That's right, and that's the key. And you have influenced me a lot too, so that's why I'm so glad that we can get on the air and talk about this. And by the way, we didn't prep this, and I knew this would work because you and me, Adam, we trust the Holy Spirit in this. I knew this would be a great
yeah.
conversation. Brother, we got about 2 minutes left. Just if you could,
yeah.
you are a big believer in Catholic radio. You do it down in Lafayette.
Yeah.
We do it up in Philly. Talk about the power of Catholic radio.
Well, in the context of our conversation, I think it's essential. And what we've seen, you know, Gary, I don't know how long y'all have been on the air in Philadelphia, but we've been on the air for 5 years here in Lafayette. And what we've seen is, even though there's an incredible amount of information on the radio, which is so important, right? People get answers to their questions. What we've seen in Lafayette is that radio can become part of people's daily habits, right? Mm-hmm. So you drive into work at the same time every day, you're driving from work at the same time every day, and you make it part of your daily life. Now, what's the most essential thing for a good relationship with anybody? It's daily contact, right?
I mean, you'd have frequent
contact. And so what we've seen is that people's relationship with Christ and his church have flourished because of Catholic radio in a way that is very unique, because Catholic radio can accompany people and make the church present. So you can hear people like Gary Zimek or Tim Staples or Scott Hahn or Mother Angelica, who all love Jesus Christ their own way. They all have their relationship with him. They become part of your life. And miracles are happening down here, Gary. I mean, I've heard things from, I'm not Catholic at all, but I was listening in. Now I've joined RCIA. I heard a story about a homeless man, Gary, where all he had was a radio. He lived in downtown Lafayette on the streets. All he had was a radio.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
He's not Catholic. And he starts listening, and he finds Catholic radio, and then he shows up at the RCIA class at our cathedral.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Yeah, and it's not because of that we're so convincing or that we're experts, right? I mean, Gary, you're great on the air, but it's not because you're so eloquent and
you put
forth the best argument. It's because of who Jesus is.
That's right. Hey, man, I hear my music. That means I've got to run. Adam Conk, you are awesome. Thanks for coming on. We got to get you on again.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it.
All right. God bless you. Adam Conk from Lafayette, Louisiana. When we come back, be not afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
When going about your daily life becomes difficult, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433.
Angel Army provides compassionate home care services. Angel Army can assist you with your personal care, make your bed, do your laundry, and perform light housekeeping. We can accompany you to various appointments, shopping, or just keep you company.
Angel Army is an equal opportunity company and can be reached at 215-805-8433 or visit angelarmycare.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 10:7, Jesus told his apostles, "As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of God is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts, no sack for the journey or a second tunic, or sandals, or a walking stick. The laborer deserves his keep. Whoever will not receive you or listen to your words, go outside that house or town and shake the dust from your feet." Obviously, the word they were preaching was not a message that was so watered down that it could not offend anybody. Nothing about them was to suggest that they were preaching the good news about an earthly kingdom. Their message was that our true home is heaven, not here, and he is the only way to get there. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit in the morning with Gary Zimak.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will. Nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find a way, bring me back.
Draw Me Close, Michael W. Smith. Have to say, that is one of my favorite songs that I play here on Spirit in the Morning. Every time I play that song, it makes me feel good. Did you check out what he said? Help me know you are near. That's a prayer for you. If you don't feel like the Lord is near, hey, Lord, help me know that you are near, that you're really listening to me. This is Gary Zimak. The time is 7:53 right now. Let's do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Here we go. This is a message, the words of Jesus, comes from Matthew's Gospel. You've heard these many times. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy. Boy, that is a reminder for all of us. We all have this gift given to us, heaven. We all can make it to heaven one day, but we've got to respond to what the Lord gives us down here below. So in other words, how we live our lives here determines where we're going to end up in the next life. It's not that complicated. Sometimes we overcomplicate it. What's the point? The point is we have to do something. We've got to go out there, instead of complaining that the world's a mess, instead of complaining that I can't do anything, go out there and do something. Be kind to one person today. Hold a door open for somebody. Smile. Be nice on social media. There are all kinds of things we could do. We're going to be rewarded so much in the next life with the gift of heaven. That's a gift that we just can't earn. I'm Gary Zimak in a hotel room in Dayton, Ohio today, where I'll be speaking at a Catholic homeschooling conference. Back in the studio, Frank Eliason is there holding down the fort. Dave Parker's off today. Frank, are you there, brother?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, Frank's not there. I always do that. I always say, Frank, are you there? And he says, no. This is a routine we have.
You know,
hey,
exactly.
Hey, Frank, that interview that I just did with Adam, yeah. We did not rehearse that at all. I knew Adam would be great. Adam's a guy who used to be a Catholic high school teacher, and he felt a call to get involved in Catholic radio. They started that station 5 years ago from nothing. Just based on a call. They felt the Lord was calling them to do that. And his success has been unbelievable. It's the same thing with us here at Holy Spirit Radio. We are here because we want to share the good news with people who need to hear the good news.
And we're inspired quite regularly. I think a lot of people are inspired by the Holy Spirit in many ways to do different things. And I think that first and foremost, you know, your quote of the day, you know, it's like living love and mercy. You know, it's so easy to be hate, but how do you do love? Well, one of the things, after we were chatting the other day about the founding of the station, mm-hmm. I had a great conversation about the start of actually Holy Spirit Radio and, you know, how that even came about. And that was actually inspirational. And, you know, next week I'll make sure I have the one prayer that goes along with this. Hmm. But, you know, they won the station. And all of a sudden had to incorporate, you know, to go through all these things and pretty much put down a name. Didn't even think about it.
Really?
Yeah. Now, to give you an idea, that was 1998. And so when they went to incorporate, so they chose Holy Spirit Radio. Well, that wound up, 1998 was the year of the Holy Spirit, Pope John Paul II. And it wasn't even known when they did that. And then there was a prayer, which I have to look up, which I haven't had the chance to, that goes along with that. And so I think one day next week, I think we should say that prayer, even though it was for that 1 year. Mm. But, you know, think about that. You know, you're not sure you're doing the right things or what to do. And it is inspired. There's different little signs around you that say, this was the right thing for you to do.
Right.
And that's what they experienced back then. You know, as we said, they lost the bid, and then all of a sudden they get a phone call and say, oh, the winning bidder backed out. You won. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's different ways that the Holy Spirit inspires us. There's different ways that the Holy Spirit sends us these signals. Question is, do you actually hear them?
Yeah, and do you actually respond to them, right?
Exactly. I mean,
that's the thing, because a lot of times we think, well, this is crazy. I can't. And let's be honest. The Lord isn't inspiring everybody to found a radio station, you know, or to go out and quit your job and become a Catholic evangelist. But we are inspired throughout the day to do little things, to talk to this person we don't want to talk to be nice for someone, to check on an elderly neighbor, to do something, to send a card to somebody, to send an email. But as Frank said, we're either not listening or we don't respond. We think, I'm too busy. Well, try to listen today. And see what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do. And then do it, because great things can happen You'll see. Next week on the show, Monday, we'll be joined by Chris Stepien, a regular guest on the program, and Father Don Calloway, who's been on several times. He's going to be talking about some great new material that his order has for the Rosary. So you don't want to miss that. Thank you for being a part of our morning. We're so grateful to be here with you. Let's close in a quick prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for everything that you've given us. We thank you for this time to spend together. Please help us to be able to hear your Spirit. Help us to be able to hear your Spirit speak to us throughout the day. And help us to have the courage to respond whenever we hear you call. Father, we ask you to use us. Use us for whatever you need today. Wherever we go today, let us be a light shining in the darkness. And may all that we do, all that we say, bring glory to your name. We thank you, Father. We ask for these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'll be back in the studio on Monday, God willing. It'll be good to be back with all of the boys. Frank, Dave should be back on Monday.
He should.
All right.
And I should be here for Monday, but I think Tuesday and Wednesday I may not. But, you know, you guys can have it.
Okay, well, at least for one day, we'll all be back together in the studio. But it was great to spend the day with you at home listening, wherever you are listening. Thanks for listening. Please keep us in your prayers. And remember to spread the word about Spirit in the Morning and Holy Spirit Radio. Would you do that for me? Wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Make sure you turn around and say hi. This is Gary Zimek, along with Frank Eliason, saying, have a wonderful weekend. God bless you.